Thank you for singing me happy birthday. Three years ago, my son, who is now 21, he was 18, and he asked to speak to his mother and I, and we sat down in the kitchen, and he told us that he was gay. I cannot share with you how painful that was for us. And I got before God on my face and said, Father, you have to show me how to respond to this, because I really don't know. And a few months went by, and I was in a Christian bookstore, and I was browsing, and my eyes fell on this picture, which was up above a stack, and I just started crying after I looked at it. And I had to get out of the store, compose myself. I came back in and I bought it and I put it in my office at home and I look at it every day. What I want to share with you is what I think, without doubt in my own heart and mind, that Father put into me as to how to relate to my son. And interestingly, it's the same scripture that, which Doug and I did not coordinate this today. It turns out it's the same scripture, and I want to read it to you one more time. There was a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the part of the property that falls to me. And he divided the estate between them. Not many days after that, the younger son gathered up all that he had, journeyed into a distant land where he wasted his fortune and lived without restraint. And when he had spent all he had, a famine came and he began to fall behind and be in want, and he forced himself upon one of the citizens of the country, and he was forced to feed hogs in the field. And he would gladly have fed on one of the corn husks that the hogs were eating, no one gave him anything better. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father has that have enough food and have even food to spare, and I'm perishing and dying of hunger. And I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just take me in as a servant. So he got up, came to his father's town, but while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe of honor and put it on him, and put shoes on his feet, and put the ring that indicates he's a son of the family on his finger, and bring out the fatted calf, and let us revel and be happy and make merry, because the son was dead and is alive again. He's lost and is found, and let us make merry. Let us make merry. What an incredibly strange father. That's one of the things, by the way, of being 60, you can be weepy and get away with it. What an incredibly strange father this father is. No thought to his own dignity. He doesn't exercise authority. He doesn't try to control. He does nothing to stand in the way of the son's insolence and stupidity and whim. He doesn't cut off his allowance. He does not try to punish him. He does not try to reason with him. So the father lets himself be plundered without a murmur of protest. What kind of home is this where the children give orders? Well, I kept waiting for the Father to say, well, I want you to do this, and I command you and demand that you do this or that or the other. And he never does. You know, this father has brought up his children badly indeed. This father asks instead of ordering, gives in, cannot say no, goes along instead of punishing. This father is unusual. He keeps silent, stays in the background, gives, helps, allows. Seems like there's only one law, and that seems to be that you should love. Children don't do the work for a salary. The father shares his wealth with them. A strange kind of love seems to be the only law, and it's built on freedom, one that is endlessly renewing. The great risk of love, the great risk of giving us freedom, is that the children have an amazing and woeful power to refuse and haggle with him over this love. What destroys God's life in us? To be your own master, to decide good and evil for yourself, to leave Father, that is sin. We want to take Father's place. The sin begins the day you stop loving Father. Father let him go. He didn't hold him back. He gave him his entire inheritance. Because you see, the father doesn't see any point to holding back money if he doesn't have his son's love. The only thing he values of his father is his money. So he let him have it. Let him keep it. Take it away. Get drunk with it. The son wants independence. He only gets it by using what Father gives him. Makes use of Father's gifts to defy Father. The son squandered his property in loose living, without restraint, lost all self-control. That's being your own master. Sin kills that type of freedom. This poor young man fell lower than the animals he watches over. And all around him were concerned about the pigs, but no one was concerned about him. He was literally abandoned by everybody. And his ruin, his poverty, his slavery, all comes after he leaves Father's house. The forgetting of God. He goes into a very distant country called the country of forgetting. The country of forgetting is where one finds oneself lacking bread, home, friendship, love, dignity, self-respect, hope. He forgot his father. He went away, and he behaved as though Father didn't exist. Father was forgotten. Thy will be done is forgotten. But Father did not forget his son. And Father asks us to repent, be converted, begin again, to come to ourselves. The depths of degradation, shame, starving. You know, into that, the Holy Spirit whispers. Into that forgetfulness, the Holy Spirit is the reminder. Under the blows of failure, disappointment, suffering, sons come to themselves and remember. The son sees only his destitution and suffering. The son doesn't understand the seriousness of forgetting his father until he is converted. It is only after conversion he understands the seriousness, the real seriousness. The reminder reminds the son of all his history, what he had, all that he abandoned, all that he lost. Father and his house still exist. The son feels unworthy to be a son, but Father has not changed. Father's heart is broken. His property is squandered. He is dishonored. He would not force his son to stay home. Father is still Father. The son has nothing left, really, but Father. The first time he realizes the terrible suffering his departure has caused Father, the son is on his way to repentance. But remorse is not conversion. He is still selfish. He's not changed. He is miserable, and he remembers. You know, we all want this son to merit forgiveness. Some of us will lean to extreme pity and some to real severity. He goes home because he's starving. He goes to the one person who will not reject him. He has nothing to give his father. I always have to remind myself that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, told us this story. Father welcomes the empty-handed, dirty, without merit son. Father, rejected by his son, misunderstood by his son, opens his doors to the disobedient son, gives complete acceptance to a wretched son. The son starts home starving. He sees his father's farm. His heart starts to beat fast, but father sees him in the distance, and father's heart beats even faster. He never ceased to grieve for his son. The father saw him and had compassion, and he ran, embraced him, and kissed him fervently. The sin of forgetting father is not only an evil, but it is our greatest misfortune. Truly, our greatest misfortune. Here is a very profound truth. You can make father very happy by returning to him. And here is a very, very great secret. Father is your happiness. Why the singing, the banquet, the dancing, the fatted calf, the wild rejoicing, the unthinkable welcome? Can you see how happy father is and how great danger the son had been in? The son understands. It is only when the father ran to embrace him, to kiss him, is the son converted. He was not converted when he was starving, and he was not converted when he walked home. It is in father's arms that true conversion takes place. That is where the rags became the best robe of honor. His tired feet washed now with good shoes. His rough, dirty hands have a gold ring that mark him as a son of the family. Let us eat and celebrate. Because broken relationships, loneliness, shame, feeling unlovable, and selfishness did not triumph over father's love, the son is converted. He is won over by father's kind of love. We all regret the fact that we are not fully converted, that we are not converted once and for all, and that we can't convert ourselves on our own. We need father's kiss again and again to purify us, to release us, to begin again the way home, to make us holy, which is to belong to him. What is conversion? The Hebrew word is metanoia. It is turning around of the whole person. It is transformation to father's kind of love. That is what it means to be born again. Our life is one continual conversion. We must every day come to ourselves, repent, get back on our feet, start back home to father. Our constant turning around, a constant remembering of father, conversion is not changing behavior. It is passionately loving. Loving with all of you, nothing held back, completely. It is giving yourself away with no reservations. We cannot let go of the money, the other woman, the other man, the honors, the pleasure, the drugs, the control, the hatred, the bitterness, the discouragement, the need to be right, until we find something to hold on to that is more beautiful, more wonderful, more profound, more valuable, more boundless, more exhaustless, more incalculable, more unending, more precious, and more rare, the kiss of Father. This embrace of Father, this Father's kind of love brings us back to life. It is the greater passion that can fill you and break all ties that enslaved you in confusion, evil, hopelessness, lukewarmness, lostness, selfishness, and allows you to weather any storm. In Father's arms, you can cry, "I renounce Satan and his world." It is not because we have come home and renounced the snake and its venom that we are converted, but it is in Father's arms we are converted and begin again. It is Jesus of Nazareth who converts us to love, availability, and surrender. It is real passion to walk in Father's story. It is He who turns us around and transforms us out of despair and sadness. To love passionately is the Christian life. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I think that is Philippians 4:13. I think that's what that means. It is unbelievable. We would never have known this great truth if Jesus himself had not told us, the Father loves you passionately. Come home, remember Father, come home. There's no punishment waiting for you and no shaming and no scolding, only his kiss and his embrace. Come home.
Transcends